Campus 103.7 presents a collaboration between me, Patricia Salomone, and my friend Stephen Mangione for the reviewing of the book The Path to Redemption, A Journey to the End of the Earth by Stephen Mangione. This is another review in the series A Book, A Thousand Stories. Dear listeners, you may remember that last week on his path to redemption, James had reached Logroño. During this lap of his walk, having left his Canadian lady friends, the Toronto Four, behind, he felt lonely, and the sad thoughts of his misdeed haunted him. But as he sat to dinner at Logroño, the music of the young group of students, La Tuna, brought some cheer to his tired body and mind. So much so, that back at the albergue he slept soundly, a night free of bad dreams and periods of wakefulness. So, waking up early, he went for breakfast, hoping Lisa had made it to Logroño. But Lisa was not around. Having ascertained this, he collected the stamp for his credential and he set off. It was a beautiful day with not a cloud in the sky. The planners of the city had created a park through which the Camino ran all the way out of the city. When he reached the open countryside, James again started to savor the sights, the sounds and smells which raised his spirits so much. He was approaching a small lake. As he got closer, he saw the beautiful scene it presented. In the distance was a range of snow-capped mountains, while in the middle distance there were endless fields of corn, and close by was the lake with its clear blue waters and its margins lined with trees. He was starting to feel a bit less oppressed by his guilt. Faced with this idyllic scene, James sat on a bench, taking in the splendid panorama offered by the lake, the Pantano de la Grajera, and eating a snack he had brought along. Beautiful as it was, the scene called for taking of photos, of which he took plenty.
Pantano de la Grajera lies a few kilometers outside Logroño. It is set in a wildlife park, and it is an artificial reservoir which was created in the 19th century to store water for Logroño and the surrounding region. This has created a lovely little lake with extensive views stretching to the mountains in the distance. The Camino follows the shoreline of the lake for a good stretch. Pilgrims are constantly taking photos of themselves, of their friends, of the places they pass through, of monuments or of special moments. It is a way of meeting people too. Asking someone to take a photo of you and then offering to do the same for them is an easy way of meeting people. Many friendships on the Camino start in this way.
Naturally, James also wished to have a photo of himself with that scene in the background. And noting a young lady pilgrim nearby, he walked up to her, asking if she would kindly take a photo of him with the lake in the background. He immediately sensed her perfume. She had a great figure and was quite tall, almost his own height. He found her very attractive. It did not take much for the two to understand that they were both Maltese and to realize that they had been in the same plaza at Logroño the evening before when the young Latuna musicians played their enchanting music. And so, James meets this Maltese lady called Maria Mallon, who explains that her English surname is due to the fact that she had been married to an Englishman from whom she is now divorced. The two set off walking together, chatting as they walked. However, between them were long periods of silence that were almost like the pauses in music, the author tells us. It seemed easy for the two to get to know one another, but neither of them talked about the real reasons that had prompted them to walk the Camino, as their feelings of guilt were still very fresh, and they did not want to share them with anyone. On reaching the little village of Ventosa, James and Maria were feeling peckish and they decided to stop for a meal. Our two protagonists have met on their path to redemption. They are completely unaware of the dramatic event that links them together. Arthur writes, there was something he found extremely attractive about her. She was definitely pretty, even beautiful, but there was more to it than just that. He was aware of her proximity at the small table where they were seated, the closeness of her legs beneath the table, and her arms resting on the table top. He felt a thrill he had not felt for a long time. Thank you. While James listens, Maria opens out to him about her experience of a bad marriage, but also about the hope that she may yet again meet the right person. So during a break in their Camino, sitting at a little table in the sun and over a glass of Albarino, our protagonists get to know each other. Little do they know what the future holds for them as they resume their walk, adjusting their pace to each other's. Walking on, they spoke about themselves, their aspirations, their work, their friends, while avoiding their respective senses of guilt. They both felt comfortable in each other's company. Their next stop was at Azofra, where they checked into the albergue, managing to get the last two beds available and getting their credentials stamped. Our two are now friends, and we see them sharing dinner together in a quaint restaurant where they open out to one another. In intense conversation, they discuss spirituality and religion, but the conversation becomes lighter when their dinner is served. It is now Maria's opinion about James that we read. Maria was aware that she had not enjoyed herself so much with a male companion in a long time. James was a good and sympathetic listener. He was intelligent. He also seemed to be kind and honest. She was pleased with their chance meeting and hoped that they might continue to walk together, getting to know each other better along the way. At this stage of the Camino, Maria was feeling slightly less vengeful than when she had left Malta. It was clear to her that she was starting to disassociate herself from Malta and from her normal life back home. James realized that he too felt the same sensation. Distance and the effort of walking were helping to put aside the thoughts that tormented him in Malta. They discussed the spiritual aspect of the Camino and how religion affects their respective lives. Maria sees spirituality as a gift which we have, which allows us to be as good as saints and as bad as the worst sinners. Faith has been an important part of her life. As for James, after years spent setting up his firm, he now feels that I have neglected some aspects of my life which I now realize are as important or even more important than my work. I need to go through a process to work out what I need to do now to put my life back on the rails. Their respective words will resonate later when the story will take an unexpected twist. One glass of wine after the other encouraged fond conversation. The author writes, both enjoyed the glow and warmth that they felt. Maria spoke about the pain of having lost her parents within a short space of time, although, once again, she said nothing about how her mother had passed away, and about how she felt she needed to find a way for her life to take a definite path, a husband, a family, children, a stable home. James spoke of his busy life building up his business, with the result that he felt he had neglected certain important aspects of his life. He added somewhat riskily, "I also feel I need to atone for some mistakes that I have made along the way." They both confessed that the long walk in the idyllic countryside brought some relief, but neither of the two opens out about the reason for their respective search for atonement. Such was the enjoyment of each other's company that they were the last to leave the restaurant late at night. At the albergue, they each settled down in their respective bunk beds. They lay there looking at each other across the narrow aisle. At first, both felt a bit self-conscious, but neither of them could or wanted to turn away. After a short while, exhaustion overcame them and they fell asleep. Author now takes us to chapter 18, which begins with the morning after, when James wakes up early. From his bunk bed, he observes this woman who he has just met. The author tells us that James observes the soft curl of hair on her forehead, and her eyes, which seemed only half closed. He could even hear her gentle breathing and see her chest rise and fall gently with each breath. He took in her arms, which were bare. It is evident that James is falling in love. And when Maria wakes, "Good morning, James." They are keen to face another day together and set off, not quite knowing yet how far their walking would take them. Thank you. It was a beautiful morning, crisp but not too cold. The countryside was so heart-wrenchingly beautiful that it brought a lump to Maria's throat. She could see the path they were to follow stretch far into the distance below the hill they were on, as it meandered through the magical countryside. It gave them such an urge to walk and just surrender themselves to the force of gravity, which was taking them rapidly down the hill. They spoke little, but felt comfortable in each other's company. In good time, they reached the town of Santo Domingo de la Calzada. In the distance, they could hear music, and on exploring the town, it seemed as though all its inhabitants were out celebrating the feast of Santo Domingo. There was a stand in the center of the Plaza Mayor with a large brass band playing. Children and young people were singing and dancing. All were wearing festive clothes with red neck scarves. James and Maria reached the cathedral, and what a revelation it was! There was an aura of serenity which affected Maria. She knelt down and whispered a prayer. As they walked past the altar on the way out, they noticed something rather unusual at the rear of the cathedral.
The cathedral is dedicated to Christ and the Virgin Mary. The town is named Santo Domingo de la Calzada, or Saint Dominic of the Way, after Saint Dominic, an 11th century saint, who dedicated his whole life to helping pilgrims on their way to Santiago by building roads, or calzadas in Spanish, and a pilgrim's hostel. He also built a church which developed into the present-day cathedral. This started being built in the 12th century and grew by accretion, with additions being made over the following centuries. The fabric of the building is in Gothic style, while the ancient altarpiece is of the Renaissance period. The cathedral is very beautiful in its simplicity, and the atmosphere is conducive to reflection and prayer. It also has a very unusual feature behind the altar, which will be described in the next episode. The Pilgrim's Hostel in Santo Domingo was turned into one of the hotels in the chain known as Parados or Paradores in Spanish. This is a chain of state-owned hotels, which are almost always located in heritage buildings like monasteries, convents, castles, palaces or hostels, as in the case of Santo Domingo. There are now just under 100 of them all over Spain, except for the Balearic Islands. Each one has a restaurant which offers the gastronomy of the region. The intention was to promote tourism, often in areas which lacked adequate accommodation, while at the same time putting large, unused buildings to use in order to preserve the national heritage.
In our next episode, the author will narrate the legend of the couple of fowl in a coop at the back of the altar at Santo Domingo de la Calzada. So, with the wistful sound of Tárrega's Recuerdos de Alhambra, we bring the fifth episode of our review of the book The Path to Redemption to an end. For a repeat of this episode, please tune in to Campus 103.7 on Thursday at 15 hours. For episode 6, we look forward to being again with you, and that will be on Monday at 18:30.